Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Siren's Call: How Attention Became the World's Most Endangered Resource by Chris Hayes, examines a defining problem of modern life, the steady capture, sale, and manipulation of human attention. Drawing on Hayes' background as a journalist and public commentator, the book frames attention not as a private preference, but as a shared resource shaped by technology, media incentives, and political power. Hayes explores how digital platforms, advertising markets, and nonstop news cycles turn focus into a commodity, rewarding what is loud, polarizing, and emotionally charged. Rather than treating distraction as a personal failure, he highlights the systems that profit from keeping people reactive and divided. The book connects individual experiences such as compulsive scrolling, anxiety, and fractured concentration with larger civic consequences, including weakened public deliberation and distorted priorities. In doing so, it invites readers to rethink what they pay attention to, who benefits from their focus, and what it would take to reclaim a healthier relationship with information and one another. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, attention as a commodity and a battleground. A central idea in the book is that attention now functions like an extractable resource, scarce, valuable, and contested. Hayes describes how businesses and institutions increasingly organize themselves around capturing minutes and emotional reactions, because attention can be converted into revenue, influence, and status. In this view, the user is not simply a customer, but also a producer of value through clicks, shares, and time spent. The competition is not only between entertainment options, but among news outlets, political actors, advertisers, and creators who all benefit from holding attention longer and more intensely. This dynamic reshapes what rises to the top. Content that triggers outrage, fear, or tribal loyalty often outperforms content that is nuanced or slow. The result is an environment where the incentives of platforms and the needs of human cognition collide. Hayes positions attention as a battleground with real stakes, because what people attend to determines what they believe is important, what they feel compelled to act on, and what they ignore. Treating attention as a public concern rather than a private weakness opens the door to systemic solutions, not just individual coping tips. Secondly, the machinery of capture, platforms, feeds, and metrics. Hayes analyzes the infrastructure that turns attention into measurable units and then optimizes for growth. Social platforms, streaming services, and modern media ecosystems rely on metrics such as engagement, watch time, and shares to decide what to recommend and what to amplify. Even when the stated goal is connection or information, the operational goal often becomes maximizing the behaviors that keep people on the service. This produces feedback loops. Content that spikes interaction is shown more widely, which attracts more interaction, which further boosts its distribution. The design choices that support this system include infinite scroll, notifications, autoplay, and algorithmic ranking, all of which reduce friction and encourage habitual checking. Hayes also links this to the pressures on journalism and public discourse, where editors and producers face constant data about what draws attention, making it harder to prioritize depth, context, or patience. The machinery does not need a conspiracy to be harmful. It only needs incentives that reward capturing attention, regardless of downstream effects. Understanding these mechanics helps readers see why willpower alone often fails and why redesign, transparency, and governance matter. Thirdly, from distraction to distortion, effects on mind and meaning, beyond lost time, Hayes focuses on how constant stimulation changes the texture of thinking and the sense of what matters. When attention is repeatedly interrupted, it becomes harder to sustain deep reading, careful listening, or complex reasoning. Short bursts of content can encourage shallow scanning instead of building coherent understanding. Hayes ties this to emotional volatility. Rapid exposure to charged headlines, viral clips, and conflict-driven commentary can keep people in a state of heightened arousal, where anxiety and anger become default modes. Over time, this can distort meaning by making the urgent feel more important than the significant. People may confuse familiarity with truth, because repeated exposure can create a sense of certainty even when information is incomplete. Hayes also points to the social dimension. Attention is shaped by what others react to, so collective focus can drift toward spectacle while genuine issues receive less sustained care. The cumulative impact is a thinner inner life and a public sphere that struggles to reward patience, humility, and learning. By framing these outcomes as predictable results of an attention-harvesting environment, the book encourages readers to seek structural and cultural changes, not just personal guilt. Fourthly, politics, media, and the attention-driven public sphere, Hayes extends the argument to civic life, showing how attention incentives reshape political behavior and media coverage. In an attention economy, politicians, pundits, and activists often compete to dominate the cycle with statements engineered for maximum reaction. conflict becomes content, and governing can become secondary to performance. This environment rewards simplification, scapegoating, and theatrical outrage because those travel faster than policy detail or uncertainty. Hayes suggests that the speed and volume of modern information can overwhelm democratic deliberation, making it easier for misinformation and manipulative narratives to spread before corrections catch up. The book also highlights the way news organizations can become trapped. They may want to inform, but they are pressured to survive in markets where attention determines revenue. As a result, coverage can tilt toward drama, personalities, and horse race framing. Hayes does not reduce this to bad actors alone. He emphasizes the ecosystem that continually rewards attention-grabbing tactics. The civic cost is a more fragmented public, less shared reality, and less capacity to focus on long-term problems. Seeing these patterns helps readers evaluate media habits, recognize incentives behind messaging, and support institutions that prioritize public value over engagement spikes. Lastly, reclaiming attention, personal practices, and collective remedies. While Hayes is clear about systemic forces, he also explores ways individuals and communities can respond. On the personal level, reclaiming attention involves redesigning environments, adjusting notifications, setting boundaries for apps, creating device-free spaces, and scheduling uninterrupted time for reading, relationships, and restorative boredom. The goal is not asceticism but intentionality, so attention aligns with values rather than default triggers. Hayes also gestures toward collective remedies because personal discipline cannot counter an entire industry optimized to capture focus. Possible solutions include platform accountability, design standards that reduce manipulative features, transparency about recommendation systems, and reforms that change the financial incentives of media. He also suggests supporting institutions that protect attention, such as schools that teach media literacy, workplaces that respect deep work, and public interest journalism. Cultural norms matter as well. Communities can prize listening, patience, and slower forms of meaning-making. The book encourages readers to ask practical questions: who profits from my attention, what habits make me more reactive, and what structures could make it easier for everyone to think clearly. Reclaiming attention becomes both a self-protective act and a civic commitment. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who feel overwhelmed by constant information, professionals who rely on clear thinking, parents and educators concerned about screens, and citizens who sense that public debate has become more performative than productive. It benefits daily life by helping readers identify why distraction feels so hard to resist, and by offering a framework for aligning attention with priorities such as relationships, learning, and meaningful work. Instead of treating focus as a simple productivity hack, Hayes shows how attention shapes identity, emotions, and values, making the topic relevant to mental well-being as well as civic health. Compared to many similar books that focus mainly on self-control tips or purely technological critique, The Siren's Call stands out for connecting personal experience to institutional incentives in media, politics, and business. That wider lens can help readers make better choices while also understanding why the problem persists and what kinds of reforms could matter. If you want a book that clarifies the stakes of the attention economy and equips you to respond with both practicality and perspective, this is a worthwhile buy. If you would like to support Chris Hayes, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.